Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey, and welcome to this Easter week. Actually, you have 50 days of celebration, but this is the first of those weeks, and it's a particular time to us to rejoice that my life has purpose for all eternity, not just for now. My life has purpose for all eternity, forever and ever. In total peace and joy, happiness and delight forever. Brothers and sisters, that's not a figment of our imagination. It's what Jesus Christ won for us on the cross, that we would not die eternally if we chose to accept him. So on this Easter Tuesday, this Easter week, let us take stock. And I keep asking, even though I hope you've all done it, there are always some people perhaps who are listening just recently or listening for the first time. Take stock of where you are. Am I clearly a disciple of Jesus Christ? Not by my words so much, although words are important, but by my actions, by my priorities that become evident, by the way I relate to others. All those things. Is it clear to whom I belong? Let's take a look at Acts 2, verses 36 to 41. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the Jewish people, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." Do you see the boldness of Peter now? Wasn't there before. What happened? It's the Holy Spirit. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you, and to your children, and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And brothers and sisters, we need to do that too, save ourselves. It doesn't mean ignore, because they need to be ministered to, but not out of their priorities. Reject their agenda. Reject their priorities. Seek to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and minister to them. The scripture tells us here that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. How many people have come to believe in God, believe in Christ, desire to follow him because of the way you acted, because your priorities are clear? I'm not talking about gifts. Different people have gifts to evangelize, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the witness of your life. Are your priorities clear? Do you love God? Does prayer figure into your life every day? Do you receive the Eucharist as often as possible? Do you read his word every day? Are you seeking, turning to God for the wisdom and the strength to conform your life more and more to his? Doesn't mean you don't fail. Of course you fail. You sin. But do you get back up and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, help me again"? If that's your life, you're on the path to eternal life. But if you've made decisions and already 3 days after Easter or 2 days after Easter, you've forgotten about them, where are you? What are you doing? Your life is infinitely important to God and to the rest of us. Though we don't see all the ways in which we influence one another, we do. We do. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Upright is the word of the Lord. All his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Where does your hope reside? Is it in him? Is it in him, is the question. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there. I think I would have fainted. She sees two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. He's not there. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. I mean, this is a shocking time. She goes to the tomb to care for his body. The body's not there. There are two angels there, and they ask her why she's weeping. I mean, I would have been utterly astonished. I don't think I could have spoken. But when she had said this, she turned around. Jesus said, "Come up behind her," while she was looking in the tomb. And she saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. When you're that astounded, when you're that stunned, when you're that shocked, all things slow down a bit. You can't quite put two and two together and come up with a four because it's impossible. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener, and she said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Now, how was she going to pick up his body? But that didn't matter. That didn't matter. She wanted to care for his body. She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." And Jesus, you know, the joy in his heart to see her fidelity, a woman who had been so sinful, and to see her fervor and her fidelity. And Jesus just says to her, "Mary." You know, when someone you love speaks your name, you don't forget it. You know it. You recognize it. You know that voice. Even if you can't see them, you know that voice of someone who loves you. And that's what happened here. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, she must have reached out to grab him. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He calls her this sinful woman, this prostitute, whose life totally turned around when she experienced the love of God. And so it is today for any of us. And what does he do? He gives her an assignment. Go preach the good news. Go tell the people what has happened. And Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. I love to go back over these particular passages and read them because they're full of life, brothers and sisters. They're full of life. Magnificat magazine gives us a very, very fine meditation here. It is as follows. Despite the miraculous apparition of two angels sitting in the open tomb, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been, Mary Magdalene remains unmoved, consumed only by her grief. Two times heaven has to ask her, once via the angels, the second time by the risen Lord himself, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she has come to her own fatalistic conclusion about what happened to Christ. "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." And it is from this pessimism that she must be converted. You know, we can have a pessimistic outlook on life. Yes, there are moments when I understand the pessimism, but that's not all of life. And God wants to set her free from that, just as he wants to set all of us free from that. When the risen Jesus speaks her name, Mary, the Magdalene, like the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost, was cut to the heart. The risen Christ's command to stop holding on pertains to our preconceptions and our stubbornness as well. Something greater than our sorrow is now at work in the world. It is the reason why even in our weeping, we bend over and peer into the tomb full of expectation. Why? Because we know ultimately God does not disappoint. Yes, we go through difficulties. Yes, some of them are extremely hard. Some of them we think we will never recover from, that life will be hell from this moment on. But if we turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, come, please come and help me, he will do so. Say it every hour of the day you want, and he will reveal himself to you. Cry out to him. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb and full of grief, and then she sees the body gone, you can imagine how she could have reacted. She could have. But God's grace, she accepted. Not even realizing that she was, but she did. She accepted it. Brothers and sisters, I think there are so many ways in which God's grace is being held out to you and to me today. There are so many ways that we are before the tomb weeping. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. Could be people we love, certainly, but it could also be dashed dreams. It could also be ripped to shreds hopes and plans. And we weep. And Jesus would say to us, today, in the power of his resurrection, he would say to us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. This is part of the promises of God. This is the power of the resurrection at work. So if you know joy in your heart for what God is doing in the world and in you, if you're coming to see what it's really like to have him as your Savior, take this whole week and rejoice. But if you've been downcast, perhaps betrayed, perhaps lost someone suddenly who you're very close to, perhaps a dream has been shattered by whatever circumstances, and you cry out in anguish and loss, and depression, perhaps, fear. Brothers and sisters, the Lord, in the power of his resurrection, wants to come to you. Call out to him, for he will never fail you. God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website renewalministries.net/FFJ where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.